The other thing is, in one of the hymns that we was singing earlier, it says, talks about yesterday's rubble. Whenever I hear that statement, yesterday's rubble, it reminds me of Jeremiah being called to rebuild the walls. And it says something like this in Scripture. It says, there's piles of rubble, yet they used those piles of rubble to rebuild the wall. And sometimes you can think that when you look around you, there's just a pile of rubble. Well, God uses that rubble to rebuild lives, to rebuild structures, to rebuild integrity, to rebuild hope. So maybe that's a word in season for someone this morning. I tend to say this on a regular basis. Is it okay if God blesses you? So is it okay if God blesses you today? Good. Because we serve a God that will challenge us, yes. That will cause us to grow, absolutely. But he does want to bless us. And we've been going through this prayer. And it's in Matthew 6, starting at verse 9. And Jesus said, this is then how you should pray. And so he's given us a format. He's given us something to start with. So when I was a young Christian, I'd go, God, how do I pray? Well, if only someone had told me this, maybe I could start with Father. It's a good place to start, isn't it? Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When we think about Scripture and we see where Jesus is in the garden and he says, Father, if this cup can be taken from me, let it be so, but not my will, but your will be done. So this is a powerful prayer. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And so often, we can want the bread for the weekend as well as the bread for today. And God teaches his people as they go through the wilderness, as they're traveling to the promises. In Scripture, it says all the promises are yes, but the amen is spoken by us. Everything is there. And God has said, there's a land full of milk and honey, but there's a journey that you need to go on. So I will provide for you food for that day. And if you take too much, it will rot. It will fade away. So Scripture says, seek first the kingdom, and then all these things will be added to you. And God wants to bless us. The Bible says that don't worry about tomorrow because it has enough worries of its own. Just think about today. And that's about our bread. It's about our food, our spiritual food, our natural food, our physical finances, the whole well-being. Let's be a people that will trust God for today. It goes on to say in verse 12, and forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we also forgive those who debt or err or sin against us. In other words, Lord, as we point a finger, we know there's three fingers pointing back. Create in me a clean heart, Lord, and renew a right spirit. No one said that church would be easy, did it? No one said that the word will not shine a light upon us and bring a scalpel, because his word is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will bring a division. It will cut out things that we need to get rid of, but it will leave room for growth. When we talk about the medical profession, so often there are things that need to be cut away to enable the good flesh to grow. And it's the same in the spiritual. It says, for today, this is what I want to focus on. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I've simply got a couple of notes and a dozen scriptures. And my note says this, temptation. When we look at the translation of temptation, it is to have or to do something, especially something that's wrong. To be enticed or persuaded. One word, two meanings. When we look in the Old Testament, we look again in the New Testament. To tempt is to solicitate that which is evil, and that comes from Satan. Satan tempts us. To prove, which is to test, which is from God. God will prove you. He will test you. So if you was to make a chair, then you'll need to sit on that chair to see if it's fit for purpose. You'll need to test it out. You'll need to prove it. And that's the same with me and the same with you as Christians. The devil will tempt us. And this prayer says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So I want us as a church to have an understanding that not all things that sparkle is gold. That there is a tempter out there. It says he's a devil. He prowls around. looking for that in which he may devour. So it is our privilege when we stand here and minister to equip you for works of service. So our first scripture is in 1 John verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth does not live in us. So there's a temptation for us to think that we're perfect, for me to look in the mirror and go, how wonderful am I? I never do anything wrong. There's a temptation there, isn't there? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins, our trespasses, the things that we err against one another and against him, and purify us from all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is the opposite to righteousness. Righteousness to have a right standing with God. That's why it's important for us as a church and for me as a minister to come to him and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit so I'm in right standing with you. If we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. The temptation here is this, is that so often I can say it's his fault, but actually it's my fault. So often the temptation is where the enemy will come and whisper in my ear and say, you don't have to put up with that. You don't have to be gracious, because God's grace will cover you anyway. That's a temptation, and that temptation comes from Satan, not from God. In James 1 verse 13 it says this, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. So these are not my words, these are his words. So when tempted, enticed to do something, particularly something that is wrong, that is from the evil one. God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Just to back up those words I spoke earlier, he does not tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and then sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. There's a temptation there, but temptation is not sin. It's when we succumb to that temptation. So I want us to grow as a church, grow as individuals, by being changed and challenged by his word. In Psalm 119, verse 11, it says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So when we hide God's word in our hearts and the temptation come, we can say, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Father, strengthen me. Lord, give me the willpower to switch this program off. Give me the willpower to not get involved with that conversation. Give me the willpower, Lord, to change direction. That's what repentance is. I'm going the wrong way, Father. I'm being tempted. I'm being enticed. Help me to go the other way. His word says it. It says, I've hidden your word in my heart. So I encourage you to hide his word in your heart, to have it there as a resource. Because the Bible says that the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. That's his word. It's truth. It will help you in times of trial and temptation. In Matthew 4 verse 3, it says this. The tempter came to him. Came to who? The tempter came to him, to Jesus. And he said, if. There's a temptation for all of us. If. Did God really say that you're not to eat from the fruit? Did he really say that? If you are, there's a question there. If you are the Son of God, if you are a Christian, you wouldn't say that. If you was a Christian, you wouldn't do that. Did you not know that we're human, we're fully flesh? And did you not know that the devil does come around to try and tempt you? But did you know that God's given you the answer to the question? Did you know, yes, you will get things wrong. Yes, you will mess up. Yes, you will stumble and fall. But he's there with his grace to pick you up. There's an act of repentance where we say, Lord, I'm going the other way. Satan, I will not listen. That's a temptation. That's not a sin. But we need to understand that God doesn't tempt you. Satan does. And he did the same with Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So can I encourage you? Can I encourage you as an individual and as a corporate body to feed upon his word? So when the temptations come, don't put your hands up, but is there anyone here that has never been tempted? If I asked you to put your hands up, I don't think anyone would put their hands up and say they've never been tempted, is there? Because we're all tempted. We're all enticed by our own desires and also the work of the enemy. And I don't know about you, but I find it so subtle. It's okay, you can say those things. It's okay, you can do those things. God will love you anyway. Okay, watch pornography, it doesn't matter. That won't pollute your mind because, hey, God created man to lust after woman. That's not what the Bible says. He's given us choices. He gave us a woman for a helpmate, to be codependent on one another, to be joined together so the two become one. That intimacy is something that should be cherished and embraced, not something that should be perverse. But yet, when we look at the world around us, and this may seem heavy, but it's not, it's actually liberating. We can say, Lord, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, because the enemy is trying to tempt us. He wants to rob us of that peace that we have. Luke 22, verse 40 says this, on reaching the place, he said to them, this is Jesus, if we go up, it says 39, Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw away from them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And the sweat was like drops of blood. When he rose from his prayer, he went back to the disciples and he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. There's times we get exhausted because of sorrow. And that's when the tempter comes. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation. The temptation here is that we can be so enveloped by sorrow, that we can be so enveloped by the circumstance and the situation, whether and whatever it may be, that we sleep, that we slumber, and that the enemy comes and his temptation starts to take root. So I want to encourage us as a church to understand that God doesn't tempt you. It's Satan that tempts you. It's the enemy that tempts you. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says this, so if you think you are standing firm, this was one of the first scriptures that I believe the Lord spoke into my heart because of some issues that I was facing. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So whenever you go through a trial or a temptation, be reassured that God's right there with you. All the promises are yes, but the amen is spoken by you. You need to grab hold of them. It's our responsibility. We have an accountability. We have a responsibility. I used to, as a young Christian, depend on other people to do things for me. They would say the things I didn't want to say. They would pray the prayers I didn't want to pray. They would do the things I didn't want to do. And then God said to me, I've called you to stand up. I've called you to articulate. I've called you to stand in the way. The enemy's trying to rob you. Yes, you will be tempted, but there's no temptation that's beyond you. I won't give you more than you can bear. And I will provide a way out. I will provide a way out. And the way out is being saturated by his word and allowing that word to be hidden in your heart. So today, whatever you're being tempted with, whether to say something, do something, live a certain lifestyle, be reassured we're all in the same boat together. We're all going through the same trials, but we all have the same God that says the same thing. He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. He is the author, the perfecter, and the finisher of your faith. Hebrews 2:14 says this, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Jesus himself shared in the humanity of mankind, that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. In church life today, there are some ministers that don't like to use the word devil because it might offend. They don't like to use the blood of Jesus because it's messy and sticky. They don't want to say to their congregation that there is a heaven and there is a hell, there is a God and there is a devil. But that's true. And it's the devil that will tempt you. It's the devil that will cause you to stumble and to fall. And he says this, Jesus shared in our humanity. He shared in this humanity, but he came to break the power of the devil and to free those who all their lives were held in slavery to the fear of death. What that means is this, there is a people who are fearful about dying because they don't know what's to come. Yet God came in humanity as Jesus Christ. He hung on a cross to pay the price for my sin and for your sin so that we could have freedom, so that when we die, we can be assured that we will live. Because if he rose from the dead, we will raise from the dead. Because he lives, we live. That's faith. Faith is the substance and the evidence, and we can't see it. But God wants to instill in us as a people today afresh that the enemy will come to rob you of that truth. Hide his word in your heart. He'll free you and those that all their lives have been in fear. Fear not. The Bible says true love casts out all fear. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. That's you and me. For this reason, he had to be made like them, like us, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might be an atonement. He will stand in the gap and pay the price for the sins of the people. That's you and that's me, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. That's good news, isn't it? Wasn't it worth coming to church just to hear that, to say that he will help? He is able to help those that are being tempted. So you can be assured that this is a good news. The good news of the gospel, which is the full gospel. Yes, we hear what the bad news is, but we take hold of the good news and say, Father God, when I'm being tempted, you're there to help me. And God wants to reassure you, I believe, today afresh, that whatever the enemy throws at you, God is your shield. He is your redeemer. He is your help in times of trouble. In Ephesians 4:11, it says this, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers. Why? I'm glad you asked. To equip his people, that's you, for works of service. God's called individuals, teachers, pastors, apostles, evangelists. He's called them, gifted them to equip you. Wherever you may go and wherever you may be, to be equipped. So when the winds and the storms of life come, you'll have an anchor and you'll have that word hidden in your heart to say, Lord, you're an anchor for my soul. Father, I'm going through times of trouble, but you're an anchor for my soul. Is there anyone that's never been through a time of trouble? There isn't, is there? Because we're fully human, aren't we? We will go through tough times. But we need to have that word hidden in our heart so we can say, Lord, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're right there with me. I've hidden your word in my heart. So when the tempter comes, and the tempter is Satan, when he comes to tempt you, you'll have God's word hidden in your heart. And you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's the lifter of my head. That's the truth of the word. He's the lifter of my head. And Satan will come, the enemy will come to try and dissuade you, to try and say, you don't need to go down that road. You don't need to be that generous. You don't need to be that person that apologizes. Just do what you do, because if God be for you, who can be against you? And that's a manipulation of his word. Satan will tempt you and he will tempt me not to put things right. He will tempt you and he will tempt me to just ignore and gloss over things. He will tempt you and he will tempt me to not preach the word, to not to bring the good news of the gospel, to say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but praise be to God, he's the answer to the question. He came, he paid the price for my sin. He hung on a cross, and on the third day he rose again. Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Have you ever been in the meeting? I have once, many years ago, where a man said this, a godly man, so-called, he said, the shedding of the blood of Jesus is irrelevant. Well, that's Satan's deception. He's tempting all the audience to say, well, we don't have to worry about the blood. Yet Scripture tells me, and Scripture will tell you if you look, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So the truth of God's word is this, that the tempter will come, but the truth will set you free. We was in home group earlier last week, and there was a portion of Scripture that was being read out, and it says, it talked about God's power and God's integrity. And it talks about the truth of his word. The truth of his word. Everything is found in his word. His word is truth. It talks about truth, and then it says, and his word is truth. So know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So Satan wants to tempt you, but temptation is not sin. Let's not succumb to that. Let's hide his word in our hearts. Is this okay? Good. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone that he may devour. Now, many years ago, I looked at this portion of Scripture and I was intrigued and interested in what that word actually meant. What's it mean to devour? He's looking to devour you. Devour is to eat something very quickly or to drink something down fast. To devour it is to do it almost immediately. And I start to think, well, how can God devour me? I'm smaller than I used to be, but how can he devour me? And the words that I had in my heart was this, by one small piece at a time, Andrew, he will break you down and he will break you down. He will dilute the word. He will dilute the truth. He will try and break your humanity. He will tell you that you are worthless, you are useless, that you hold your head down because you don't deserve it, that you're a sinner and that you're going to hell, and he will break you down and break you down until he's got you in powder form, and then he will put you in water and he will devour you. He will drink you down fast. Now, Scripture doesn't say that, but Jesus all the time used parables, illustrations, stories. But if you imagine, the Bible says stand firm. And when we stand firm, the devil can't do anything, but he starts to whisper in your ear. He starts to say, who do you think you are? Who do you think, have you ever heard that? Who do you think you are? And you say sometimes, I'm just worthless and useless. I'm a sinner. Instead of going, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am justified, just as if I'd never sinned at all. I am sanctified. I've been set apart for his glory, predestined. God knew me from the beginning of all creation. And he called me. Are you listening, Satan? He called me and I responded. I am his and he is mine. He's in me and I'm in him. The Bible says that when I became born again, he put a deposit inside of me of his Holy Spirit, guaranteeing the rest is going to come. That's who I am. Who are you? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. It says this. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. That's the promise to you. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen. That's the promise to you, his children, that if you stand firm, after a little while, he will restore you. He will enable you to be firm and steadfast. To him be the power and the glory. Genesis 22 verse 1 puts it this way. Sometime later, God tested. Here's that same word again, but it has a different meaning. It's to test. He tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he replied, here I am. He tested Abraham. Abraham, here I am. God tested Adam. Adam! He hid. God can test you and he can test me by simply saying, son, daughter. And you can respond by saying, here I am. See, God knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. And here in this portion of scripture, early on in the Old Testament, it says this, that Abraham was tested. And if you know the story, you'll know that he had a son. And God said to him, his descendants will be numerous. So there was a promise over his life. And yet God said to Abraham, take your son, your one and only son, and sacrifice him. Now, I don't know if I'm missing something here, but God, didn't you say that father of many nations, and yet you're going to take my only son and you're going to kill him? But Abraham had something in his heart that I believe we can have also. He had that truth of God's word that he'll never leave me or forsake me. And even if he dies, God will raise him from the dead. And as he laid him out on the altar and the axe or the knife, whatever it was, about to come down, God said, wait, wait. I myself will provide. And that's a picture of the sacrifice of Jesus. You see, you don't have to sacrifice your son. You don't have to sacrifice your daughter. Why? Because God sacrificed his. The enemy will come along to tempt you, but God will test you. He will prove you to see if you're fit for purpose. He will prove his church. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I believe this to be true. Throughout the world, there's a shaking. There's storms, there's rumor of storms, there's rumor of wars. I think I've read that somewhere before. There's nothing new under the sun. And there's a shaking going on. And scripture puts it like this, is everything we do will be tested by fire. And that's the fire of God's word coming to illuminate. The testing of his word will burn up the dross. All the stuff that's rubbish in my life and your life, it will be burnt. And then the goodness of the word, the goodness of the works that we do unto him will be left. You see, that's a testing. That's not a tempting. That's a proving. If you take a piece of steel, it has to be tempted in the sense that it has to be tempered. It has to be tempered so that it can be tested to see if it's strong and fit for purpose. It's the same for me and you. Satan will come along to test us and to tempt us. Why do I say that? Because sometimes we can so easily get those two words mixed up. We think it's a test, but it's a temptation. So we need to be a people, I believe, that has his word hidden in our hearts. So just as Abraham, when God says your name, you say, here I am. You weigh it up with the word. And if you're being tempted, you resist. And if you're being tested, you succumb. Say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. In James 1 verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I don't know about you, but I don't like this. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. It's God testing you today, so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, this is good news, because God tests you to prove you, to see if you're fit for purpose, to see that you can be the completeness that he wants you to be. Mature, not lacking anything. That's a good thing to be. If you lack wisdom, then ask. And God will give you generously, without finding fault. God's word says this, if you lack wisdom, ask and he'll give you it without finding fault. Well, sometimes when I talk to my children and I'll say something, I'll come on the back of it and say, yeah, but you, and I'll try to excuse it and find fault with it. But they've actually said, okay, Dad, I'll do the opposite to what I was going to do. Instead of me accepting that, I tried to find fault. Yet God, our Heavenly Father, he doesn't find fault. It says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. And it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. See, doubt comes to rob us. Because the one who doubts is like a man, is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So Yes, God's word is challenging, but I believe it's awesomely encouraging. It's an encouraging word that God says that I know you need me, just call and I'll be there. That Satan will tempt you, but I won't. But I will test you and I will prove you to see if you can stand firm in the times of trouble. I will be a God to you. I will be all that you need. I will be the answer to the question. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 says this, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness those 40 years. And just imagine your life up to now. I'm sure you've been through some wilderness experience. Well, let's just lay hold of this scripture. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you, causing you at times to hunger and then feeding you with manna. That manna for you today is his word. So he tested you and he humbled you and then he fed you with his word. This word, this manna was neither from your ancestors, they didn't know it. It was a new thing. It was to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. Jesus had this scripture hidden in his heart when he was tempted by Satan. But every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. And the scripture goes on to encourage us to say when God leads, he provides. So when you're tempted, hide his word in your heart so that you can have an answer for the adversary, for Satan when he comes. That you would be able to say, the Lord may test me, but he doesn't tempt me. Temptation is not sin. It's not until it's fully grown and cultivated. Jesus himself was tempted, but he didn't succumb. And the same opportunity has been given to me and to you. I'll finish with this scripture. For we do not have a high priest who is not unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. We don't need to hold your head down. Maybe you've been tempted this week with things. Maybe, I don't know, something you've watched, something you've said, something you've done, something you feel you want to do. Whatever it may be, it's a temptation. But unless you succumb to it, it remains a temptation. So, approach God's throne of grace. Grace, what is grace? I'm glad you asked. It's undeserved favor. Approach his throne of grace with disappointment? No. With dishonesty, with shame, with guilt? No. With confidence. There's a hymn that says this, my confidence is in the Lord, the hope of my salvation. With confidence. Hide his word in your heart with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fear death. We thank you, Lord, that you're there to help us in our times of temptation. Father God, may we be those that we've called to be as you prove us, as you test us, as you put us under pressure. Trial and tribulation produces character. Lord, produce character in me and in us that there may be a hope for the present and for the future. Father God, give us your word that we may hide it in our hearts, that we may be strengthened. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We're going to take up our offering. Let's be cheerful givers. If you need to get right with God, you take it during this time of prayer because God wants to set us free. Amen. Thanks, Matt.